Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I am broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today is Friday. It's Friday, June 24th, 2016, and it is still hot as hell here in North Carolina. Boy, I tell you. Let's get on to describe what we'll be talking about today. I might have mentioned this earlier in the week, but today is the anniversary. I don't know if that's the proper word for it or whatnot, but today is the day that the Organization of Afro-American Unity was founded in 1964 by Malcolm X and John Henry Clark and other black nationalist leaders of their day. They wanted to create an organization that would foster unity among black people, not just here in the United States, as the name may imply when you say Afro-American, but it was to include the entire diaspora, the African diaspora, people who identify with Africa as their homeland, no matter where they are in the world. So it was to foster unity among black people globally, period. Okay. And again, that was in 1964, on June the 24th, that it was founded in Harlem, New York. So I thought, might as well take a look back at what this organization hoped to be, but we know it did not become anything after Malcolm X was assassinated. His sister tried to pick it up and carry it on, but it fell apart. And the reason, as I was reading today, some of the people's opinions about why it fell apart, they said because after Malcolm was gone, there was no charismatic leader to continue to, push it and what have you. And that's sad, but it's true. It's sad, but it's true. And I wouldn't say this is something that's exclusive to black people only, but most people, they tend to gravitate towards, what would we call it, a cult of personality. When you have a person who's charismatic, who speaks well, who can fire up the crowd and stir passions among them, those type of people tend to draw a huge following. Now, doesn't mean that they are ineffectual leaders or anything like that. Doesn't mean that they're phonies or they're frauds, but some of them do turn out to be that way. But it's just a shame that we need celebrity figureheads to get the masses, interested or attracted to becoming part of a movement. Again, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about the masses of people, the masses of people, especially in the black community. We tend to gravitate towards what is known as a cult of personality and what have you. So I want to take a look back at, you know, what they stood for, what they was working towards. And I also, you know, want to ask the question. I've already answered it for myself. I think, you know, when you start talking about unity among any people, is that possible? Is 100% unity possible? If 100% unity isn't possible, then what percentage of the people do we need to unify around a platform and what have you in order to be effective? Because we know we're not going to get everybody. Everybody's not, you know, going to join us. Everybody's not going to unify with us. We know that, right? But what percentage? What percentage of people do we need to unify, to become warriors for the cause, to lend their talents, to lend their resources to a movement that's bigger than themselves? So what percentage of people do we need to do that? All right. Do you think, you know, that unity is possible among black people? Again, I don't mean to be a pessimist. I'm just a realist. I just, based off of my observations, I don't think that's possible. That's just not possible, as we are not a monolithic people, meaning we are not, you know, all cut from the same cloth. We all don't have the same upbringing. We all don't have the same education. We all don't have the same experiences, although we may share some experiences like the oppression that we are suffering and whatnot, but we all don't have the same background and the same experiences that would, you know, possibly lead us to be of similar thoughts and what have you. So when you have, you know, diverse experiences, diverse viewpoints, diverse backgrounds and whatnot, you're just not going to be able to get everybody, you know, to co-sign on to whatever it is that you're trying to do on behalf of whatever group, you know, you are trying to help or what have you. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Now, but before I get into that, we'll say that for later. Before I get into that, I do want to go over some of the news of the day. The big news of the day, and I'm sure Tando Radio Show will cover it more in depth. You know, I'm almost sure that Brother Dave is going to talk about the BRICS nation in that vote in Britain, where they voted for the UK to leave the European Union. I've been seeing commentary and news headlines about this on the internet. They're trying to portray it as a racist act and what have you, tie it to Donald Trump. This is what isolationism looks like. This is Trumpism, and this is racism, and all this and that. And while I'm sure some of the people who voted for the UK to leave the European Union, I don't think that you can chalk it all up to racism or xenophobia or anything like that. I mean, if I was, let's just say that we didn't elect some people, right? We're in a country that's part of the European Union, and the European Union has shot callers and whatnot, leaders and whatnot, you know, who set forth the rules and regulations and laws and you know, whatever the standard operating procedure is going to be and what have you. Well, some people may not want to give up their sovereignty like that and be subjected to rules and regulations come up with by people that they did not elect. So this could have, you know, on some people's mind, it could have to do with sovereignty. It also could have to do with economics. Maybe they don't feel like the UK has benefited economically and has been hurt economically through its participation in the European Union and what have you. So You know, that's some big news today. As you know, Tando Radio Show, they focus on these type of issues more so than I do. He has a better grasp and better understanding of these financial, global financial issues than I do. So I will defer to Brother Dave, and I will wait till Tando Radio Show comes on at 6 o'clock and hear, you know, his commentary on this vote by the UK to leave the European Union. So I'm just saying, from what I've observed from a lot of the headlines, the news headlines, they've been trying to portray this as everybody who voted to leave as a bunch of racists, you know, regardless of if non-white people voted for it. Oh, this is just a racist move and what have you. So that's all I got to say. Don't keep believing all these headlines, man. A lot of times these headlines are so misleading. They just trying to get you to click on the article. And then if you do click on the article and then you read in the body of the article, a lot of times it doesn't even match the headline. Okay, just like I keep seeing all these headlines today about Bernie Sanders says he will vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, did he say that? Yes, he said that. But there's some context to that. He was asked a question. All right. The way the question was framed was, you know, if you don't get the nomination, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, will you vote for Hillary Clinton? And he, well, if it's to stop Trump, then yeah, I'm gonna vote for Hillary Clinton, is what he said. All right. So now people saying, oh, he sold out all those people that was following his movement. He gonna vote for Hillary Clinton and all this and that. Number one, the media is playing the game here by even asking that question. Why would you ask somebody who still has an active presidential campaign, who still plans on seeking a nomination once the convention, the superdelegates go vote at the convention? Because right now they don't have a nominee. All right. Neither him or Hillary Clinton got the required delegate votes from the primaries and the caucuses to secure the nomination. So the superdelegates are going to end up determining who gets the nomination. All right. That does not happen till next month at the convention. So for the media, people in the media asking this man, would you endorse Hillary Clinton, is very premature, as he has not lost the race yet. But that's the perception that they have created. And when I say they, I'm talking about the mainstream media. That's the perception that they have created. And if the facts are different, the facts don't matter. What matters is your reality is based on another person's perception, and that perception is false. Well, not really based on their perception, but their propaganda. We know from emails that have been leaked from Hillary Clinton's server that they have people in the media that are working with her to, quote unquote, muddy the waters about any of the allegations of criminality on her behalf, to just simply, you know, keep pushing her. Push Hillary, push Hillary, push Hillary. I mean, this is a very interesting election. And not just from the standpoint of politics, but how the system works. You know, we hear people saying your vote don't matter, these elections are rigged and whatnot. And, you know, there is some truth to that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm still going to vote. I'm still going to vote because I'm voting first of all, to elect judges and whatnot in the county that I live in, and people on the school board and stuff like that. Got to control my local politics first, you know. So, but this election, just the Democratic side of it, just goes to show you what it lends evidence to those who say the process is rigged. All right, now they have direct evidence to point to. They can point to these memos that were obtained by hackers hacking the DNC to see how that shows how they rigged the primaries and the caucuses to favor Hillary Clinton in so many ways. Before she even entered the race, the DNC was coming up with talking points to help her win the presidency. This is before she even officially declared for the race. Now another bit of news that come out. You got these Bernie Sanders supporters who have donated money to his campaign who have filed a class action lawsuit against the DNC based on the material that it was obtained from the DNC servers, which got hacked by some guy going by Guccifer 2, which shows, because their own rules and regulations say that the DNC and all this officials and staff members are supposed to be impartial, that they are not supposed to favor one candidate over the other. And so these emails show they are in direct violation of their rules. So if these people win this class action lawsuit, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that the DNC, the Democratic Party, will owe these people for defrauding them in a rigged election. And most experts that I have read commenting on this said, man, this is a can't lose lawsuit, because you got the documents from the DNC themselves. Doesn't matter how the information got out there in the public. What matters is what the documents say. And so that, again, just looking at the system and how corrupt it is, this election right here, man, it's like must-see TV. You know what I'm saying? Because there are just so many layers and so many elements to how they control people and how they push the agenda of racism and slavery on us. And it's just all playing out. I mean, when I'm seeing these headlines, these obviously biased headlines, these outright lies coming from some of these writers in mainstream media, all I got to do, I'm looking at Hillary Clinton's memo. I'm looking at the DNC memo, talking about their friends in the media who they can use to push propaganda and what have you, and to muddy the waters and confuse people about the allegations, the criminal allegations concerning Hillary Clinton. Again, man, they will be studying this election for years, and not just how Trump rose to power and all that. I mean, the Republican Party right now, you know, I'm not really even paying attention to what them doing. All the action is happening on the Democrat side. So, I mean, it's just unprecedented. All right, some other news that we want to share with you. Mondo Wilanga. All right, his name is Washita Way Mondo Ian Wilanga, formerly known as David Lewis Andrew Rice, who was born in Omaha, Nebraska, became a political prisoner after the organization that he was part of, which was also affiliated with the Black Panther Party. They set up him along with Ed Poindexter for a bombing of a vacant house that killed a police officer. All right, these men have always maintained their innocence. They are FBI files from the Omaha special field agent in Omaha, Nebraska, where he had wrote back to what's his name, J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI, and said these men aren't doing anything, you know, illegal. They're not doing anything but feeding children and engaged in that type of work. And he got a reply back from the people at the FBI is to find something. All right. And these men were set up just like many, many men and women during that era were set up by the FBI and put into prison, if not outright assassinated. So now the FBI is claiming they can't find many of the files associated with the case. And so Mondo never got his freedom until he transitioned. All right, so he's dead now, and he just had his ashes spread on Mount Kilimanjaro, which is Africa's highest mountain. But again, his co-defendant, his comrade, Ed Poindexter, remains in prison to this day. And I just want to see if I can get this video to play at the memorial. It may not play. I don't know why they posted it like this. Let me see if I can get it to queue up. By the way, I'm on examiner.com, and you can find all of this at on our page on blacktalkradionetwork.com. So I want to see if I can get this tribute loaded up. For some reason, it just... it's not loading up for some reason. Wow, I don't understand. Okay, all right, so can't play that. So I will just move on to the next news item. All right, so I don't know what's going on. Things are just running kind of slow. Let me see if I can straighten my system out. All right, here it goes. It's finally loading up. All right, may not even be on my end. All right, so let's see. What else do we have here? We have Mondo's ashes being spread. I already shared with you, thousands of Bernie Sanders supporters are suing the DNC in a massive class action lawsuit. Attorney General Loretta Lynch confirms the DOJ will indict Clinton if FBI recommends indictment. To me, that's an opinion piece, but it is well worth the watch. I'm starting to think that Loretta Lynch may be a person of integrity, as much as one can be working for this corrupt system. But I do think that she takes her job at the Justice Department seriously. And given all of these, I mean, we just had a congressman who was convicted out of Pennsylvania this week, a U.S. congressman convicted by the DOJ. They were prosecuting the case. I seen a bunch of other politicians, sitting, you know, congressmen, also state politicians and city politicians, mayors and stuff, getting taken down by the DOJ over public corruption charges, bribery, money laundering, all kind of criminality going on by these people. And I've seen a whole bunch of these cases in the past 4 years since Loretta Lynch has been there. So Loretta Lynch said, when she was asked, you know, about the influence of President Obama, and, you know, she said, I don't talk to President Obama. He has no influence over my decisions, even though he's, you know, appointed her and whatnot. That is not how she does her job. She has not talked to him about the Clinton investigation and what have you. So that's what that guy means. When he says, you know, she's confirming the DOJ will indict Hillary Clinton if the FBI recommends indictment, which they are going to recommend indictment, you better believe that. There's just too much evidence out there for them to do anything other than this woman has really hung herself. The other article is the Clinton IT aide, Brian Pagliano. He was on the stand Wednesday, and he answered zero questions in his sworn deposition. This is the man who set up Hillary Clinton's private server in her basement for her to use to get around Freedom of Information Act requests to violate the law. He has been given limited immunity by the FBI when in this civil lawsuit, this FOIA lawsuit, he was called to testify. He invoked his Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate himself over 125 times. He did not answer one question. He just simply responded with, I'm pleading the fifth. Don't want to incriminate myself. And so I don't know what is up with all these people who think this ain't serious. All right, this is very serious. All right, here is also some news from Mr. Thayer West. He made a post. He's also the producer of Afro Synergy. He's talking about the Israelis are blaming the Palestinians for their water shortages in the West Bank. Mr. West says it is a demonic people who cuts off the water to the Palestinian people and then say it's the Palestinians' fault because their water equipment is faulty. For decades, the Germanic Ashkenazi government has been destroying Palestinian infrastructure in the West Bank and Gaza. All right. So, one last article. This is related to terrorism. There's an article that's coming from the SPL Center. That's the Southern Poverty Law Center. You can find them at splcenter.org. They're talking about the international reach of white supremacists, white nationalists, and terrorists overseas. All right. They say in an article written by Heidi Berich, she's the intelligence project director. She said, although illegal in Europe, inciting racial hatred is constitutionally protected speech and a lucrative cottage industry in the United States. Notorious domestic terrorist groups like the Ku Klux Klan, with more than a century of bombings, lynchings, and mayhem, are issued government permits to march down the streets of minority communities, usually with an armed police escort, screaming and sputtering neo-Nazis dressed in vintage World War II SS uniforms have been similarly accommodated while they goose-step through Jewish neighborhoods. Parade permits are issued to hate group events even when law enforcement is fully aware of the high possibility or high probability of violence. In this country, hate groups have a legal right to express and incite racial hatred, call for the extermination of Jews, deny the Holocaust, or harass and cyberstalk Jewish journalists on social media. Technically, there is little the U.S. government or American society can do about homegrown hate. Unless these groups are directly linked to a violent crime, they are free to propagate visceral hatred as a business model. Now, I'm going to disagree with her there. They can do something about it. They just don't have no desire to do anything about it. And this hate crime crap is crap, all right? All these people getting charged with hate crimes when they should be charged with acts of terrorism. Dylann Roof committed a terrorist act. Why isn't it, and why hasn't it been referred to as such by people in authority and law enforcement and these other places? Now, this woman that got killed, this woman who was assassinated in the UK, MP member of parliament, sort of like, you know, a congressman here in the U.S. and whatnot. Now, that guy had ties to neo-Nazi groups here in the United States who had even sold him a diagram on how to make a makeshift single-shot gun, which he used to kill this woman. Now, you on the flip side of that, just think. All the stuff that they tie to so-called Muslims, non-white people mainly. They took out his name. What was the guy's name? Alawaki, something like that. I can't remember his name. He is an American citizen. He's also a Muslim cleric. He moved to Yemen. Him and his family moved to Yemen. Now, he did sermons on the radio, just like I'm doing stuff on the radio, all right? And he was broadcasting stuff and talking about how evil the United States is, how corrupt it is, it's the great Satan, blah, 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 blah. All right? He ain't said nothing millions of other people don't say, all right? They sent a drone. The Obama administration put this man on a kill list, you know, a secret watch list. He was on a watch list, that watch list that the Democratic Congress people was doing a 60 era style sit-in over. And I found out more information about that since yesterday. All right. So they took him out. Then a couple of days later or a week later, they even killed his 16-year-old son, both American citizens. But they weren't protected by freedom of speech or the Constitution or anything like that. Now, I don't recall that guy calling for direct attacks or anything like that. He may have, I'm not sure. But I hear this all the time from these racists. We see it all the time. They be on Facebook doing this stuff. They be commenting on articles. So, again, the United States government, the state governments, they could do something about these terrorists, just like they target other so-called terrorist groups overseas. They don't want to do nothing about it. That's the thing. They don't want to stop that terrorism. So check that out. It's just so much hypocrisy. And they even got, you know, a little chart where they show U.S. influenced killings all over the world. You know, like that guy, remember Anders Breivik, who killed 77 people and injured more than 300 people in a bombing and shooting spree? Well, guess who he was influenced by? And guess who, what group he was a member of? The U.S.-based Stormfront group. They showed that the guy who assassinated British MP Joe Cox had ties, was a National Alliance supporter. These are U.S.-based white terrorist groups. 2002, another National Alliance supporter, Maxim Brunieri, attempted to assassinate the French president. David Copeland in 1999 cited the racist Turner Diaries as his primary influence for a series of nail bombings in London that killed three. We're talking about one of the oldest terrorist organizations on the face of the planet, and we are to believe the United States government, with all this authority, all this might, all this power, can't do nothing about it because these people have, you know, they're just exercising their First Amendment speech rights bullshit, is what I call. But that's the system under which we live. Global terrorism. Global white terrorism. So, I'm going to take a station identification break, and then when I come back, we're going to jump into this information about the organization of Afro-American Unity, which was founded by Malcolm X, John Henry Clark, and other black nationalist leaders. And this was, on this date in 1964 in Harlem, New York. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. We will be back on the other side.
Six, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this, you crazy mother.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Talk Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Anytime you would like to chime in with a question, comment, you can do so. There are two ways. The studio line is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. Just hit *6 and 1 to enter into that queue that let us know. All right, so let me start off by giving you a little bit of information. Well, let's just start off with Malcolm X. It's just a very short clip. Here he is speaking about the OAAU, which again stands for the Organization of African Afro-American Unity, which was founded by him, John Henry Clark, and other black nationalist leaders on June 24, 1964 in Harlem. So this is Malcolm X.
Black in Time Enterprises, celebrating who we are by honoring who we were.
One of the first things that the independent African nations did was to form an organization called the Organization of African Unity. The purpose of our organization of Afro-American Unity, which has the same aim and objective, to fight whoever gets in our way. To bring about the complete independence of people of African descent here in the Western Hemisphere and first here in the United States, and bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary. That's our motto. The purpose of our organization is to start right here in Harlem, which has the largest concentration of people of African descent that exists anywhere on this earth. There are more Africans here in Harlem than exist in any city on the African continent, because that's what you and I are, Africans. The Charter of the United Nations, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights are the principles in which we believe. And that these documents, if put into practice, represent the essence of mankind's hopes and good intentions, desirous that all Afro-American people and organizations should henceforth unite so that the welfare and well-being of our people will be assured. We are resolved to reinforce the common bond of purpose between our people by submerging all of our differences and establishing non-sectarian constructive programs for human rights. We hereby present this charter, number one, the establishment. The Organization of Afro-American Unity shall include all people of African descent in the Western Hemisphere. In essence, what it is saying, instead of you and me running around here seeking allies in our struggle for freedom, in the Irish neighborhood or the Jewish neighborhood or the Italian neighborhood, we need to seek some allies among people who look something like we do. And once we get their allies, it's time out for you and me to stop running away from the wolf right into the arms of the fox, looking for some kind of help. That's a drag. Number two, self-defense. Since self-preservation is the first law of nature, we assert the Afro-American's right to self-defense. The Constitution of the United States of America clearly affirms the right of every American citizen to bear arms. And as Americans, we will not give up a single right guaranteed under the Constitution. The history of unpunished violence against our people clearly indicates that we must be prepared to defend ourselves, or we will continue to be a defenseless people at the mercy of a ruthless and violent racist mob.
All right, so that's the end of that clip, and I mean, I love listening to these clips from back in the day, you know, because if you listen closely, all the problems that they identified and the solutions, you know, we definitely see the same problems today. The solutions, not so much. I mean, again, a lot of black people right now are taking the view that, oh, the Second Amendment was put in place for the slave patrol so they could keep Africans under under control and the free black people under control, who were prohibited from exercising their Second Amendment rights, even though they were free and they were citizens and they were paying taxes and all this. So they sought to deny us that right. And it is true. It was implemented, I believe, off the evidence to mandate these slave patrols, which were also known as militias and whatnot. Okay, I concede that. But what that got to do with us being defenseless? So because they put it in place so that they could arm the slave patrols to keep us under control, oh, so we're supposed to now today reject Second Amendment rights and whatnot instead of fighting for them? Now we got people among us who just simply want to disarm everyone, and we're still dealing with the, like Malcolm was just talking about, the brutality, the terrorism, the murders against our people that are going unpunished. We just had another cop this week found not guilty among the six who participated in the killing of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. We see it time and time and time again. 96% of the cases referred to the Department of Justice end up in them closing that investigation without any charges and whatnot. So we just continue to be victims. You know, the Malcolm X grassroots organization came out with a report a few years ago. Every 28 hours, a black person is being killed by a cop, by a security guard, or a vigilante and what have you. So, you know, I do not think under those conditions that it is smart or intelligence to be advocating for disarmament of black people. If anything, it should be the exact opposite. Like, we've been seeing them white people run out and purchase guns and ammunition with the each successive election of President Obama. We should be doing the same thing. A defenseless people are end up the victims of mass murder and whatnot. And the only, I mean, we can ignore history if we want to, but most of the towns and the little cities and what have you where black people came together to engage in constructive activities and do for self and work with each other and whatnot, all of those towns that got wiped out, all those places got wiped out like that, they did not have an organized armed militia to protect their property. All right, that's just a plain simple fact of the matter. The ones that did survive, whether we're talking about individual families or we're talking about individual communities, those people were armed and they were organized. So you know, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, he talked about the Constitution. He talked about the Bill of Rights and saying if it was, you know, applied properly, you know, these are some grand ideals that we can get behind, that we can embrace. But the fact is that, you know, it is not being applied in a just manner. It's being applied in a racist manner, and black people are being mistreated. So we need to band together. We need to organize. And we need to demand our rights be respected and whatnot. So I pulled up, you know, some information from malcolm-x.org, one of the documents pertaining to the Organization of African American Unity about their programs. And so I would like to go into some of that now. And see what their aim was. All right, Program of Organization of African American Unity. All right, pledging unity, promoting justice, transcending compromise. We Afro-Americans, people who originated in Africa and now reside in America, speak out against the slavery and oppression inflicted upon us by this racist power structure. We offer the downtrodden Afro-American people courses of action that will conquer oppression, relieve suffering, and convert meaningless struggle into meaningful action. Let me stop right there. I just picked up on something. All right. He was not speaking of, or they are not speaking of, slavery in this document that was produced in 1964 in past tense. They're talking about slavery as if it still exists. Let me read that again. We Afro-Americans, people who originated in Africa and now reside in America, speak out against the slavery and oppression inflicted upon us by this racist power structure. Doesn't sound like he talking about stuff that was happening in the past. Sound like he was talking about something that was happening to them in that moment, in that space of time. And again, slavery, if you read the 13th Amendment, you will see they never abolished it. They just transformed it to the prisons. All right, now it goes on to say, confident that our purpose will be achieved, we Afro-Americans from all walks of life make the following known. Having stated our determination, confidence, and resolve, the Organization of African American Unity is hereby established on the 15th day of February 1965 in the city of New York. So this was a year later they came out with this. Upon this establishment, the Afro-American people will launch cultural revolution, which will provide the means for restoring our identity, that we might rejoin our brothers and sisters on the African continent culturally, psychologically, economically, and share with them the sweet fruits of freedom from oppression and independence of racist governments. Number one, the Organization of Afro-American Unity welcomes all persons of African origin to come together and dedicate their ideals, skills, and lives to free our people from oppression. Number two, branches of the Organization of Afro-American Unity may be established by people of African descent wherever they may be and whatever their ideology, as long as they be descendants of Africa and dedicated to our one goal, freedom from oppression. So I guess he's saying, don't matter if you a liberal, you call yourself a conservative, whatever label you using, whatever ideology you are following, you have a voice. Your voice is legitimate. Again, he talked about, you know, this organization was set up for people despite their religious affiliations, despite their political affiliations. The only requirement is that you be black. That's the only requirement. The number three, the basic program. All right, number four, I think. Yeah, I was on number four. No, number three, the basic program of the Organization of Afro-American Unity, which is now being presented, can and will be modified by the membership, taking into consideration national, regional, and local conditions that require flexible treatment. Number four, the Organization of Afro-American Unity encourages active participation of each member, since we feel that each and every Afro-American has something to contribute to our freedom. Thus, each member will be encouraged to participate in the committee of his or her choice. Number five, understanding the differences that have been created amongst us by our oppressors in order to keep us divided, the Organization of Afro-American Unity strives to ignore or submerge these artificial divisions by focusing our activities and our loyalties upon our one goal, freedom from oppression. All right, so, I mean, it's a lot here on this page. Obviously, I cannot read it all. It goes on to talk about, you know, the different aims and objectives like self-determination, national unity, different programs like the Basic Unity Program. Now, here's something that I was thinking about as I was, preparing for this program. There's something different today than it was during their time that I think hinders any kind of movement today to foster unity among the masses of black people trapped behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Now, back in the 60s, we were still in control of some of our infrastructure. Especially the infrastructure of mass communication. I'm talking about black radio stations. we were in control of those stations back then. All right, we could, you know, we had people come on air and talk about the issues forthrightly, without sugarcoating it, without, you know, worried about offending others and what have you. And so, you know, we had the infrastructure in place. All right, we, while the oppression, I believe, was just, I don't know, we might be more oppressed than they were back then in terms of police terrorism and what have you. All right. So, but while they were facing that oppression back then, it kind of forced black people to unite. It just kind of forced us with all of that open oppression and racism and whatnot. You know, it's right there in your face. Nobody was confused about what was going on. Nobody was confused about who the enemy was. When I say nobody, I'm talking about the masses in general. I'm not talking about individuals and what have you. All right, because there's always been sellouts among us, people who sell out the movement in exchange for whatever it is they get from the enemies of black people in this country. All right. But the key thing here is mass communication, because like Malcolm X said, media controls the minds of the masses. They can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. We know that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., often when he would go to a city or whatever region he went to organize against whatever the local issue was, he would stop in on a black radio station and talk to the people through the radio. All right. So we don't even have that anymore. All our black radio stations have been bought up by white corporations like Clear Channel. The ones that are still in the hands of black people, and I'm talking about Radio One, all right, they are not interested in any kind of black liberation programming whatsoever. None. Okay? And they are influenced by advertisers, about how much money they can get from advertisers. And so if I get on here and we're doing all this black liberation, you know, stuff on air and you know, talking about banding together against police terrorism and what, well, you know, Coca-Cola, Walmart, all those type places, they may not, you know, approve of that message, and they might pull some ads and stuff, but they damn sure ain't got a problem with putting their ads and stuff on these radio stations that's pushing out this audio poison into the minds of our young people, programming them with self-destructive behavior and whatnot. So, you know, today we do not have independent black radio in terms of, you know, to where we can even reach the masses of our own people. We just simply can't do it, man. We can't do it because we don't have it. We've lost that. Now, can we develop a mass communication radio system throughout this nation? Most certainly we can, utilizing new technology and using digital radio. We can rebuild it and whatnot. So, but we don't have the means right now to get everybody on the same page. We just don't have those means. So that's something that I identify today that is different than, you know, back in 1964, 1965, in terms of black infrastructure that might hinder any kind of movement for unity. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, such movements are not worthwhile, because I belong to one. I belong to one called 1 Million Conscious Black Voters and Contributors. You know, but again, I am under no illusion that these will become mass movements, because we don't have the means to reach the masses, to give them a message that they will be receptive to and inspired to join us. So my thing is, the way I operate is I'm looking to unite with people, black people of like mind, okay? Because I know we're not going to get 100% unity. That's a pipe dream, in my opinion. The masses since the 1960s have been programmed with so much misinformation, so much self-hate, so much destructive behavior, so much white nationalism. They call it patriotism, but it's really white nationalism. That, you know, we first got to have a massive deprogramming effort. So I don't see that happening in my lifetime. I just don't see it happening. So what I'll do is focus my energy on lending my time, my talents, my skills to people of like mind engaged in various activities. Now, one of the things I did note about this, and this is part of the misinformation we have gotten, you know, from the mainstream about our own history. While this organization, the Afro-American Unity, was only open to black people, it was not a racist organization. All right. It was not a racist organization whatsoever. And when I say racist organization, let me restate that, because black people don't have the power to practice institutional racism to where we can impact such a huge number of people on a negative, you know, level. We can't do that. So what I'm saying is just because this was an Afro-only organization, they were not talking about harming white people or anybody else that don't look like us. That's not what they were talking about. Their unity was based on love, not hate. Love for each other. All right, that's what it was based on. Love. It wasn't based on hate for anyone else, or certainly it was hate for what was being done for us, but in terms of just condemning entire group of people, that is not what the organization of Afro-American Unity was about. Now, one of the other things I read was that this was based on also the African version, where they had, I forget the name of it, I think it was the Organization of African Unity, OAU, not OAAU. And that is what they based it on, where you had, you know, the Organization for African Unity. I guess that would be the precursor to what do they call it today? The African Union? Is it called the African Union? I'm not sure. Drawing a blank right now. But they do have such an organization. I think Robert Mugabe, the president of Zimbabwe, is the chairman of it right now. It's a rotating chairmanship, and so I think he's, you know, it's his turn to be in it, to lead it and whatnot. And he's issued a few scathing reports about white supremacy on the global scale and what have you. And so that was the precursor of this. Now, they don't want that. They don't want us to unify on any kind of level, especially not with people in the African diaspora or on the homeland. All right. They don't want that. All right. And so they came up with a program called COINTELPRO that was run by the FBI to do what? The stated goal was to prevent the rise of a black messiah, all right? And this goes to what I was speaking about earlier, about the organization died with Malcolm X, because from what I've read, they're saying that, you know, they didn't have a charismatic leader, person with, you know, magnetic personality who could motivate people. They didn't have anyone like that anymore, and that's why they think it folded. Nobody was attracted to it anymore after Malcolm X was murdered. So COINTELPRO was designed to take out Malcolms, to take out Martins, to take out any kind of leader, charismatic leader, who they refer to as a black messiah. And it's worked. Look at all the disunity that we have today. COINTELPRO recruited black people to infiltrate the Black Panther Party, to infiltrate the NAACP, to infiltrate all of these different organizations. They were using black proxy tools of racism to infiltrate and destroy from within, to cause chaos, to cause confusion, to cause black people to be suspicious of one another. Again, in my opinion, this system would not exist as it does if black people and other non-white people wasn't helping this system sustain itself. It just couldn't. They couldn't do it on their own. They just simply couldn't. From my study of history, every people that was invaded was betrayed by someone among them, who told everything, who handed them the keys of the city, told them of the defenses, told them everything. So then you had the CIA that was going around. The FBI was working here domestically. Then you had the CIA going around killing African leaders. They didn't kill Nelson Mandela, but they certainly were the cause of him being put in prison for all those years and what have you. So, you know, these are all the things that are going on that I, in my mind, would hinder and prevent such an organization today or such a movement today. You look at what Gaddafi was trying to do with the gold-backed dinar, which he was proposing to the African Union to use as a unified currency backed by gold, which would immediately made it the top currency in the world. Okay, the preferred currency is backed by all the gold and precious metals in Africa. They took him out for that. It's in Hillary's emails between her and the French president. Because France still has a number of African countries that they are colonizing. And France knows that they lost them colonies. If those colonies gave up the French franc and then replaced it with the African Union currency that Gaddafi was proposing. So that's why they murdered Muammar Gaddafi. It didn't have nothing to do with him being a brutal dictator and all that. Don't listen to them racist white people in the media. Don't listen to them. Don't even listen to them black proxy talking heads. They ain't doing nothing but repeating the lies. So we see that they know that once the black diaspora gets on the same page and enough of us start working together, establishing economic ties to one another, establishing professional ties with one another, supporting one another, that they done. It's over. It's done. The system is done with. But unfortunately, as history has shown, we have been unable to do so. We've been unable to do so for various reasons. So, again, I did want to just recognize, because, you know, a lot of people, we forget. We forget our own history, and this isn't like ancient history, but, you know, we can learn from our history if we just, you know, study it. Who knows, man? We, you know, maybe somebody came up with the solution to end the system, and we just ain't uncovered it yet because it's been hidden from us. That's why it's very important to study history, man. So, that's pretty much my program for today. I do want to just, you know, say thank you to Malcolm X, to Dr. John Henry Clark for their valiant attempt at unifying black people in this country. It's just so shameful that their vision could not be realized in their lifetime. And, you know, I don't really see anybody picking that up. Well, I'll take that back. Check out, go to 1 Million Black Voters. I think that's the name. No, IamOneOfTheMillion.com. All right. I really support what they're trying to do. They have planks as part of their platform. This is a movement to unite black voters and black business owners. And they are taking a realistic approach that we can't unify everybody, but everybody just ain't down with black liberation. Everybody not down with black self-determination. So they only looking for 2% of black people, of the 40 million estimated black people in this country. I think it's much higher than that, but you know, 2% of black people unifying around this platform. And I do believe they could make a huge impact if we can achieve that 2%, and we all contribute our time, our talents, our resources, and even our money, that we can get a lot of stuff done towards black liberation and freedom from oppression. So go to IamOneOfTheMillion.com. All right. You'll also find some past interviews of some of the leaders of that movement on that website. You can find out a whole lot of information. So with that said, I'm gonna get ready to shut it down. Coming up later today at 6:00 p.m. Eastern time will be some more live programming with Tando Radio Show. Brother Dave will be on air. Hopefully we'll be able to get Race Treaty on air tonight, and that will close out our live programming of the day. All right. Remember, we got the crowdfunding campaign going on for funding black media, not just any kind of black media, but independent black media. All right. We got that going on. The only way that we can maintain our independence, the only way that we can maintain what we have, is for people to support it financially. All right. The only way that we can grow, the only way we can build a network to replace the one that was taken from us, a radio network that was taken from us. And when I say radio network, I ain't talking about one station. I'm talking about a network of stations all over this country. You know, they took that from us, but we can build it back. But it is going to take resources to do that. All right. So recognize the fact that it is dangerous out there. People are being killed, people being snatched up into slavery, being shot down in the streets, being extorted. Property is still being stolen today, just like it was stolen 100 years ago from us. You know, all of that is going on, man. All of that is going on, and it's not going away. It's not going to go away on its own. The only way that we're going to implement a system of justice is that more people join the movement, get active, and we have more people that want to practice justice than people who want to practice injustice. We got to tip the scales in our favor, so we ain't got time to be sitting around not doing nothing. All right, we got to do the very least that we can do. You know, and I understand everybody don't have the same gifts, don't have the same talents, don't have the same resources. You know, I understand that. I understand if you don't have, you know, $20 to donate or something like that. But guess what? What you do have will be appreciated. I don't care if it's just a dollar, that'll be appreciated, and it'll be put to good use. Just like with I Am One of the Million, if you get, you know, whatever 2% of 40 million black people is, I don't recall it off the top of my head, it's each one of them just gave $20 a year, man. Do you understand what kind of budget you'll be working with? All right. So, you know, it just take everybody just doing what they can. So do what you can. Let's end slavery today, not tomorrow. Let's end it today. And in the meantime, be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.